Father, we thank you for this morning and for the sun we have outside, and we ask that you would please bless the time we spend together as the body of Christ in this particular building. Let all of our Sunday school classes go well, and then may worship this morning honor you in spirit and in truth, and also encourage us to love and good deeds. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, did you bring back your sheet? Because I've only got a minimal couple, I think. Well, hold on here. I got to find out how many I have. Atapa gets one because he wasn't here last week. There you go. What's that?
Thank you.
No, it's fine. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? She found hers. There you go. All right. Okay, so you remember last week when we were studying history, we were talking about the impact of Islam upon the church. Remember, we used that in quotations because we're mostly talking about Roman Catholicism in the West part of Europe. It's the popes pretty much controlling things going on within the different churches within these kingdoms that are over there. And then you've got the Orthodox Church in the East, what we call the Byzantine Empire. And we'd talked about, we were on the back page, back part. It's the one that's got the two images on it. That's the back page. We had talked about how the Pope was involved in establishing the Holy Roman Empire. And that officially began in 962. With Leo appointing Otto. So you've got a Roman Pope putting a German king on the throne for an empire. And that's what's happening pretty much in the Western world. Now, in the Eastern equation, though, we run into a huge problem in the 11th century. Now, that's the 1000s, okay? In the 1000s. Because the Byzantine Empire pretty much gets overrun by the Seljuk Muslims. And if you look on the front page, the green there, that was the Byzantine Empire pretty much from about the 700s until the time we're talking about right now, the 1000s. It had that control. The biggest chunk of that to the right-hand side is Turkey. That's what we know of as Turkey today. All right, so now you look on the back page, and you've got the little bitty one, which, as small as it is, it's kind of hard to see the writing. But basically, this time, the green represents the Muslim Seljuks. They basically push in from the east and take over all but a little bitty tiny bit of Turkey. That little tiny bit of Turkey that's left there is within fighting distance of Constantinople, the capital of the Byzantine Empire of that time period. So that's a major crisis that's now going on, is that the Byzantine Empire feels like they're about to be overrun and done in. So they do something about that by appealing to the Pope first, because, you know, they are, the Byzantines consider themselves to be Christians, even though they didn't really care for the Pope and some of the stuff that he's been pushing lately. But they appeal to the Pope for assistance. And, of course, the Pope is pretty much controlling the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire. So in 1095, Pope Urban II calls for a crusade. And it's not just simply to support the Byzantines, to try to protect them from having their capital city overrun by the Muslims. The Pope also feels it is imperative that we Christians go to the Holy Land and take control back from the Muslims. because the Muslims have been in control of the Holy Land since the 600s, since the time of Muhammad himself, and shortly after. The Christians living in the Holy Lands for the last 600, 700 years, 800 years, they have been in dhimmi status. You remember that from the front page? Means that they're basically second-class citizens of those countries. They have to practice their Christianity on the quiet, and they can't violate Muslim law, none of that stuff. So they had quietly been doing Christian things at their little cathedrals and things like that, especially the ones that were the holy sites related traditionally back to Bible stories, like the place where Mary supposedly had Gabriel tell her about her pregnancy coming up. There is a chapel that's built there now. And then, of course, you've got the Church of the Holy Sepulchre down in Jerusalem, where Jesus was supposedly buried, and they built a big old church building over the top of it. And then they've got the things in Bethlehem relating to where Jesus was supposedly born. So they've got all these little holy sites all over Palestine or the Promised Land that they'd turned into church places. And for those last several hundred years, they had been able to just kind of have their own quiet things going on there. And they would have tourists that come in from the Roman Empire, from the Byzantine Empire, from the Holy Roman Empire. They would have religious tourists that would be granted passage to come into those sites, do their little Christian thing, but of course it's never in the sight of the Muslims, so it didn't violate the dhimmi thing, and then they would spend their money and stuff like that. So that had been allowed for a long time. But when the Seljuk Turks are in control now, they kind of stopped some of that. In fact, they've been doing something that was very traditionally Muslim. They've been robbing the tourists. And if they looked rich, they would kidnap them and what would they do next? Ransom them back. Very Muslim, very traditional Muslim. Okay, so they were doing all of that. So that's why the Pope at this particular time says, you know, we can't just simply help stop the Muslim advance against Constantinople. That's important to stop it here. But we need to actually send soldiers off to the Middle East in huge waves, and we need to take back the Holy Land for Christians. When Jerusalem fell to the Crusaders in 1099, so it took them about 4 years to push down there, they were pretty rabid. They were pretty wound up tight, and so they did something that was totally inappropriate, I think, and that is they basically killed all the Muslims and Jews that had resisted them in their advance, and they started destroying all their holy sites. Now, of course, all the Jewish holy sites are what else? They're also Christian holy sites, so that was pretty stupid by itself. And some of the Muslim holy sites are also traditionally Christian sites, believe it or not. It's kind of weird. These guys that are acting in this way, a lot of them are only Christians by ritual. They do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ because that's not really what's been taught to them as they've grown up. It's all been traditional stuff. But they do take Jerusalem in 1099, and then there's pushback in the next several generations because Saladin, who was the Muslim Sultan of Egypt, he turns around and recaptures Jerusalem in 1187. So if we call the Christian movement into the Holy Land the Crusades, then I suppose this is kind of like an anti-crusade that's happening by the Muslims. But the Muslims, or the Christians basically in Jerusalem in 1187, they just give up. They say, please don't kill us. don't do away with us. So they surrendered, and so they were spared their lives, and their holy sites were spared. But Jerusalem is now back under Muslim control in 1197. So how effective was the First Crusade? Wasn't effective at all. It didn't really accomplish anything other than a lot of people died on both sides, and holy sites got destroyed, some of which were shared between the Christians and the Jews in particular. So Pope Gregory VIII, who was in the papal chair at that time, he called for another crusade. Now, today we usually refer to this as the Third Crusade because there were kind of two at the beginning of the story that we just thought of as together. That's right. Yeah, there is blood on both sides, and I want you to always remember, though, a lot of the things that these Christians did on those first two crusades had nothing to do with Christianity. It had everything to do with the fact that they were told by their pope and by their emperor, go and take this territory back. And we'll find out later, they were also told, and you can have some of your sins forgiven if you'll go and do this. And so it's very problematic, but the Crusades were an absolute failure from a perspective of what they were supposed to accomplish, which was to bring the Promised Land back under Christian control. And again, Christian in quotes there. So Pope Gregory sends out another crusade, and it's at this time you've got many of these very powerful Europeans, these lords, that go and join it. This is the one that Richard I of England joins, and you know him as Richard the Lionhearted, and who also is really tied in historically with this guy. Who? Robin Hood, that's right, because it's the same time period of Robin Hood, all right? But that was all going on in England while King Richard was off in the Middle East.